It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It's always a good day when I can step back into the studio and speak to someone brand new that I met through another mutual that I had on the show a little while ago, and talk about death. I mean, I know it makes some people uncomfortable, but to me it's as natural as talking about new babies coming on the planet. So, you know, it's a shared situation with all of us. You know, we're all going to die. It's just a matter of how and when. And there's so many beautiful things surrounding how we can transition and how we honor the life that we have prior to transitioning. And then the wishes that we have once we've moved on. So there's all kinds of cool things going on right now. The guest I have today, her name is Sarah Hines, and Sarah is the co-founder of deathandgrief.com, and she also has her own website. It's ameaningfuldeath.com, and Sarah does just an enormous amount of work in the grief arena, which is a huge topic. So we're just going to nicely be able to get into a little bit of it. Obviously, there's so much to talk about, but her sites are very, very interesting and deal with community. And I want her to, first, I want to welcome her to the show, and then she's going to talk to us about community death caring and many, many other topics. So welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Jane. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. Now, you're in Canada, am I correct?
I sure am. I'm up in Toronto, Ontario.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. I'm a Michigan gal, so, you know, I grew up surrounded by Canada and love everything about it and love all the people and how beautiful it is. And I've spent a lot of time in your fabulous country, so.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. We all appreciate hearing those things. Thank you.
Now, are you Canadian?
I am.
You don't have the Canadian dialect.
Oh, it will come out. Don't worry.
Oh, there we go. Out.
Stay here. Out.
There you go. All right. Well, welcome to the show. And Sarah, let's talk about talk to me about, I know grief is on your website, it says grief is not something we can heal from. It's something that we recover from. What is community death caring? What does that mean?
Yeah, I think when we, that's such a big question. Community death caring is really about how we take care of the people we love when they die. How do we actually honor their death? How do we actually honor their life? I think in previous conversations, Jane, you had said, the idea that honoring death is much like honoring birth, and I couldn't agree with you more on that. The idea of how we care around new babies and new life and new moms and all of the celebrations that we put around that, I would love to see that mirrored, or I love to see it when it's mirrored on the death side of things, too. Mm. So death care is really about how do we honor the people we love in a way that feels honoring. For many people are in the way that we look at contemporary funerals today, that it doesn't have that connection for us. So really about how do we make connection inside of death. And that's really what community death caring is about.
Hmm. So it's such a big topic, but it's kind of how we are dealing with our loved ones before they transition and after they transition?
Yeah, it is. And there's many different thoughts and paths you can go down. There's the idea of hospice care or palliative care. There's end-of-life care. There's end-of-life doulas. There's death doulas. There's home funeral practitioners. So there's so many, there's such a vast arena of options, and everybody has a little bit of an interpretation. We're still growing up as an industry or as a community, and it'll be really interesting to see how all of them are honored in their own way.
Right. You know, I was reading over your site. I was on the deathandgrief.com, and I was reading over the ceremonies and the grief work and just the different areas that you have. And it really struck me, like I was reading into it, and there was one part that just said, you know, wash their body, sit with them, whisper, I love you, carve their casket, carry their body, pick up a shovel, dig their grave, give your grief somewhere to go. And as I'm reading that, I'm like, oh man, what I wouldn't give to be able to go back in time and be more present for the important loved ones that I've had that have transitioned that I did not get the chance to do that with. I had nowhere to put my grief, and it was just this horrible, visceral attack on all my senses because I feel like I didn't get to do anything surrounding these transitions that have happened. How do we do that? How do we go back? We can't heal, but how can we make peace with a situation if we did not have the chance to do that, whether it was distance or the circumstances surrounding our loved one's death?
I've seen many different ways that this can be honored in ways that we really didn't have the chance to. We're seeing, and I don't know if this is the right word to use, but I'm going to say it, it's this reconciliation that kind of happens after the fact. Mm. And a lot of people feel it because now when they have the hindsight or that 2020 vision on what happened. But in the moment, I think we actually need to be able to forgive ourselves a little bit for how we interacted with death in the past. And I hate to belittle the experience, but it's just like anything we go through in our lives. We've gone through an experience and we look back and we thought, we could have handled that a little bit better. And this is one of those things. You still have people that you love in your life that will die, and you will still have the opportunity to cherish them in ways that make sense. But to answer the question, after you're able to kind of forgive yourself around that a little bit, I've actually seen other ways that people are able to honor death that they haven't had a chance to really be present inside of. Suicide is a very interesting play in this. Mm-hmm. And how do we honor death by suicide? When we feel so hurt, when it feels so personal, when it feels so cut off from what our thoughts were. There's lots of different ways that I've seen those honored in memorials or ceremonies of people that were loved and love them. So it really depends.
Right.
We want to go and what we're comfortable with.
Right. And so how did you come to get into this work? I mean, is it, you know, has this been the death and grief world been your life ever since you were little? Like, how did you, how did you embrace grief and why did this become your career path?
It's an interesting question. I actually had a friend of mine who had back in the 90s that ended up with AIDS, and he had been completely disowned, essentially, from his family and also from the gay community because AIDS was such an unknown. It was such a scary thing that no one wanted to get involved. So he ended up really eventually dying alone. And he had to reconcile this idea that he was dying, alone, and he had to, at some level, forgive his family and his community for not being there for him.
Wow.
And it was in the watching him go through this really activated me into death care around gay men specifically, just because that's what I had seen and that's where I was diving deep, and it led me to palliative care. So I worked in homes for mostly gay men for a while until, the drugs got better and it became okay to be gay. And then I cracked on and started taking care of dying children. Mm. I think it was in that I think that broke me a little bit. So I ended up walking away for a while and came back recently about 10 years ago and really started studying it a little bit deeper. I went to community death care school and studied with Orphan Wisdom with Stephen Jenkinson and found myself wanting to do this work full time.
Wow. Wow, it's a crazy story. I can't even, good for you. It takes a certain very special individual to be able to be with people going through such horrible pain as like that young man with AIDS, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure being ostracized from his own community and then to pivot and to watch children die. Man, that's some pretty strong character you have there, Sarah.
I was pretty young, so I think I may have been a little blind to it all, and I think that's why I needed to walk away a little bit. But
yeah.
It really was watching the heartbrokenness that happened around children
right.
dying, especially with mothers, right? They were really, you were watching mothers in a moment grieving a dying children, their dying child, while at the birthday party of another child. And it was this whole kind of balancing on the edge of that knife that really struck me as probably one of the most beautiful things I had ever seen. And the strength of humanity, the strength of women.
Thank you.
And parents and humans, period.
Yeah. Man. So where does a mom pull the strength to go on after the loss of a child? And I mean, there has to be an enormous amount of grieving groups. I know there are. And do they lean on one another?
Yeah, they certainly do. And maybe I'll answer the question with a little story.
Please do.
And I do get teared up a little bit, so I apologize.
Oh, excuse me, Sarah. The show is, this entire show is about death. So tears are very much a part of this show. I rarely get through a show without either welling up or openly breaking down. So everybody's used to it. If they don't like it, they can find another podcast. I'm really okay with it. You know, I mean, this is what this topic is all about. So,
perfect.
Please share.
Perfect. Well, then this will fit right in. So I was taking care of a small little one who was about 9 months old, and she had no emotions while she was awake. Mm. So she had physical movement. She was able to move. But when you looked into her eyes, she kind of looked through you. She didn't really have that eye connection with you. And there was no smiling. There was no crying. There was no real gauge on how she was feeling while she was awake. But while she was sleeping, it was amazing to watch this little one just come alive. So when I would take care of her, I would always kind of get the bottle in a little tiny bit warmer or a little bit earlier so that I would have this amazing opportunity to watch this little wee baby sleep, because it was probably one of the most beautiful moments. Time stopped to be able to watch this. And so while I was holding her one day and she was sleeping and I was just captivated by her little laughing face, her mom walked in and looked at me and kind of broke down. And so I put the baby down and I walked over to her and we were kind of hugging it out. And she's like, "I'm not sad." And I was like, "I'm sorry, pardon?" She goes, "I'm not sad." She goes, "I feel like I'm the luckiest woman alive."
Mm.
"So are you. There are very few of us that get this chance to see that."
Wow.
"Be able to witness that beauty inside of her. How lucky are we to see that?"
Wow.
Because I stay up at night And I will, she goes, I don't sleep because I stay up at night and I just lie there with her and watch her sleep.
Mm.
because it's probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Mm. And she goes, I thank God every day that I'm the one that he chose to be able to witness this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love this woman.
Yeah.
Wow. What a strength of character. And oh man, for her to take something so incredibly painful and unfathomable to most mothers on the planet, myself included, and be able to turn that into something positive and beautiful, and she's got gratitude surrounding it. Wow.
Yeah, and I think this moment, when you look at it and you constantly will ask the question, why? And when mothers are faced with, especially small children that have cancer or have a condition like this little one, you're constantly in that question, why? What she first removed was the why me. So she took the me off that statement,
mm-hmm.
and she asked just why. And then she had to answer that question for herself because no one else could answer it. And the only thing that she could come up with is because this is a gift. This
wow.
moment in time is a gift. I cannot stop the death from happening. I can only honor what's happening in this very moment, or what's going to happen tonight, looking forward to that moment when she falls asleep and I'm cuddled in bed with her. So it's finding the gratitude in those little moments as we face death, an impossible situation, that she was able to. Now, that's not to say, like, this wasn't a very sad occasion, but it was sad, and it was filled with gratefulness, with gratitude.
Wow. Well, and she regarded it a gift, you know, to be able to see her child, who had no expression when they were awake, to actually be living whatever type of life was behind the scenes, was deep inside. And to see this little baby come to life as she's sleeping, it is God. It is a moment of holy, holy moly. Thank you.
That's it. Mm. Yeah. And I mean, whether you believe in God or you believe in spirituality or you believe in life, life in of itself, these are moments that we can soak in,
mm-hmm.
Without having the pressure of having to think about tomorrow, to have to think about the schedule, without having to think about the operational side of life. And I think, you know, when she saw me sitting there with her little one and just soaking in those moments with her, and then being able to talk to me about it, that is community.
Right.
That is how we come together. That's what it means to be there for each other, is being able to share and soak and nourish ourselves in those little moments that only together are they actually giving grief somewhere to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, great explanation for community death caring. Oh, my. Wow. So you pivot away from watching babies and young children die, which I don't know how you did that to begin with, so I just have to say I think maybe you needed to take that, and you moved on. So now you have deathandgrief.com, and you also have your website, ameaningfuldeath.com. Tell me, what do you do now? Like, what is your day-to-day work surrounding grief?
Yeah, so I work with organizations that have teammates that die. How do we...
Oh, okay. Like in the workplace?
In the workplace.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, a meaningful death is really about how do we bring meaning to those deaths inside of our workplace, and how do we bring our teams back together so that they are in an environment where they can move on and flourish. I've worked with a few organizations, and every organization is different. every organization deals with it differently. But typically, inside of an organization, is very operationally focused. Mm-hmm. Who's going to take on those tasks? Who's going to a funeral? Who's sending flowers? Okay, you were on their team, you get 2 days off. You weren't on their team, but you worked with them, kind of, and you get a day off. So it becomes very operational. Hmm. And then many leaders don't know how to bring and rally their teams together after those deaths. So I work with teams, and I help them kind of gel around what had happened and how their team is going to be productive going forward. Would they bring on new people? Do those new people have really big shoes to fill now? What does that look like? Mm. How do we actually carry the person that died with us in the work that we do and honor them in the work that we do?
Ah. Wow.
So it's community death care or community grieving, but in a workplace environment, which is a little bit different, I think.
Yeah.
People.
Well, you know, I've had a whole bunch of friends that happens when you start getting a little bit older, and I'm 59, and so I've lost a lot of friends in the past couple years, and one in particular was quite a big radio star here in San Diego. His name was Steve West, and I loved what the community did for him. I mean, there were all of these beautiful ceremonies on the radio because, you know, that's how, you know, and even they had all kinds of shows recorded with him, so he was part of it.
Right.
And his daughter kept it up by posting really cool things on Facebook. And so it was just really interesting that that was a lovely way to remember Steve and to continue to have his spirit be alive. But not everybody has the access to big radio stations and a fan base that all of his fans were like the outpouring of love over this man because he had been broadcasting in this town for, I want to say, close to 30 years, if not 30. Mm. So that's nice. That's nice. It's a cool thing for you to be able to come in and help them kind of wrap their hearts and their team around the grieving process of a loss of a coworker.
Yep. And it's, you know, I think when we don't have, much to your point earlier, when you don't have the option of, or you haven't really had the insight into options at the time of death, they've kind of gone down a more contemporary funeral where you just don't feel connected to.
Right.
That death, there's something that's very similar to that inside of the workplace. So it's how do we take some of those memorials and those rituals and how do we actually incorporate them in a business environment? Mm. I think the fact that I also am the co-founder on the Death and Grief Rights Revival, which is the other site, is that's really feeding a lot of the stuff that happens inside of a meaningful death. Because it's so community-based, in both the death work and also the grief work. So
that's the Death and Grief Rights Revival Project. I was going to ask you about that. Will you speak on that?
Sure. There's a few of us that started it, and we really have two practices that we work through. We have death community death caring. Where we teach people how to do home funerals. And we also have funeral services. I'm a celebrant, so I can do eulogies and other ceremonies at the time of death. And also, we also have a grief community. So we bring people together a few times a year, a small group of people where we can actually work through some of the grief that we've got living inside of us. Because, you know, most of the verbiage that we hear around grief right now is we need to recover from it. We need to get over it. We need to, you know, get through it. And how come I can't just get over it? And I think the grief groups or the grief convergences that we've come up with really give grief somewhere to go that hasn't had that chance to go anywhere before.
Right.
So, yeah, we create those little communities so people have a safe place to do so.
Yeah, it's not something you heal from. There is a recovery that happens, or a partial recovery or whatever. I mean, I'm still grieving my mom, who's been gone close to 10 years, my dad, my sister, for heaven's sakes, my dog, random moments where you just get this, words will come in my head that my mother said, or a phrase that my sister would say, or a joke that my dad would tell. It's just remarkable. And then all of a sudden you're right back there. You're right back into that pain, it's so hard. I love this on your site. It says, I think it says, is it possible to unearth and transform our deepest wounds into sweeter sorrows?
Mm.
And I thought those words were really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I think, if we actually look at grief as not an emotion, but actually looked at it as something we needed to tend to for the rest of our lives.
Hang on a second. Hang on. I love that, because we were just discussing. Okay, so I need to write it down, because then I can.
No, that's okay.
Okay, so if we think of grief as not an emotion.
It's not an emotion. I feel like it's something we need to tend to for the rest of our lives.
Okay.
Or even a skill set, right? Like, it's a skill that we are learning to live with. When those moments come on where you hear your dad's joke, or for me, it's I get a really great parking spot at my best friend dies. And ever since then, I've been getting the best parking spots. And she always got the best parking spots.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm getting them because of you. And so it's kind of this like little thanks.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Not you, right?
Absolutely.
So it becomes this, how do we actually tend to grief?
And right.
Do we tend with it? Do we tend to it with a sense of sadness that we don't have it anymore?
Mm.
Or do we tend to it in a way that we're grateful that we even had the chance to?
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that this is something that you people are able to, my mom died and now I'm just going to be grateful I had a mom.
No. No, I get what you're saying.
It's a skill that we're learning how to do.
Right.
We have to learn how to tend to grief.
Right. Well, just like the parking spot thing, it's like my sister Lynn. Lynn was, and just the strongest female on the planet. I mean, this woman was absolutely dynamic and brilliant and strong. And, she would always say, pull up your big girl panties and deal with it, And the cool thing about her, she's in Michigan, I'm in San Diego. But if I was going to have like a party or whatever to celebrate something with our children, I would always call and confer with her about the party. And, she was just like the ultimate party planner. And then she would say, listen, I've got the weather. I'll take care of the weather. And so to this day, now Lynn's been gone, I want to say four. Yeah, it's been 4 years. It's 4 years in April. Whenever there's a party in the family, we always say, Lynn's got the weather.
Right.
And it's so cool because she does. I mean, she takes care of business, man. See, I told you I'd cry. Oh, I can't get through a show without it.
She's there. That's
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. She's here now. She's like, I got the weather now, Jane. well, how cool is this? What a great conversation. We're almost close to closing. Actually, we're really getting very close. What would you, any final words you'd like to share or any thoughts that we didn't quite get to?
I think I really want to maybe pull on that thread of how, death and grief are really rich in learning about ourselves and about the importance of life. I think community death caring and grieving in community really teach us a lot about belonging and what it means to belong to each other. And I can't think of, especially these days where most people don't get the chance to really say goodbye to loved ones, so don't get to touch them inside of COVID, as an example. I can't think of something that's more important and more urgent than this sense of belonging and the sense of community. And I think we can really find it inside of death and grief if we look and if we're willing to be vulnerable in it.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you. That is a beautiful way to end the show. My guest is Sarah Hines. She has great websites. You can check both of them out. One is called deathandgrief.com. The other is ameaningfuldeath.com. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's an absolute pleasure, and thank you for the time.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.